We have a motto that we live by. Fricudere! It only took a moment for Richter's gift of tongues ability to translate. When he did, he found a renewed faith in the interconnectedness of all things. No matter what world he was in, there would always be a bro code. Richter laughed aloud and threw his arm around Bayon's shoulders. You're my boy, Blue! The two of them had several more drinks, and the party continued. After a particularly strong round of shots, he shouted, Everybody gets lucky in the Mist Village! Now who wants to see my luck stat? As Richter recalled, there were quite a few hands that shot up. One of the dwarves made himself known with an old mountain drinking song, The Brogue is Thick as Frozen Cream. Every comment he made was answered by a listening crowd of dwarves with either a sad, aww, or a jubilant, yeah!
Mielussi yelled, aww, that she loved me, cook! Yeah! But she couldn't walk. Aww. Till next week! Yeah! Then I ran out of ale. Aww. Because I drank it all! Yeah! The tavern were dry. Aww. As green at sea! Yeah! There were only one barmaid. Aww. For every dwarf! Yeah! They had no curves. Aww. That I couldn't touch! Yay! There were a fight! Aww! We beat their arses! Yay! But I got thrown in jail! Aww! It were full of whores! Yay! They cost a silver! Aww! I had a gold! Yay! Me lassie left me! Aww! But sister found me! Yay! Now me story be done. Oh, until next week! Yeah!
After the call and refrain, the dwarves had just danced around, drinking, singing, and headbutting each other. This time Richter was smart enough to avoid that particular form of celebration. He also learned a great deal about dwarven philosophy that night. It started when he joined a table of miners. One of them was saying another liked to pleasure men with his hands. He was doing the universal jack-off gesture, but with a curious adaptation. His arm was twisted so that his thumb was pointing down. Curious as hell, Richter had asked, Why is your arm twisted? The dwarves looked at each other like the answer was obvious.
He was saying that he stroked men's cocks, your lordship. I wasn't saying that he liked it.
Richter's face made it clear he didn't understand, so the dwarf explained.
This way, when he be stroking the shaft, he can also give a thumbs down. That way everybody knows he not be enjoying it.
The Chaos Seed looked at them in drunken bemusement, but the other dwarves all blearily agreed. Another chimed in.
It just be the rules, me lord. Like if two dwarves be huddling for warmth and the cold, it only be weird if the little spoon pushes his butt back.
Richter was about to look at him like he was crazy too, but then thought about it and said,
That math checks out.
They all cheered and handed him a pint of ale. Downing them in one go, they slammed them down on the table and one shouted,
What's moth?
The party continued. Another hour passed and the festivities showed no signs of stopping. Richter was telling one of his original stories to a crowd of onlookers when Sion walked up. This one was about a magical black carriage that could speak. The carriage and its rider, Michael, rode around and solved crimes, usually at night. The sprite wasn't alone. Like everyone else, he was fully drunk and had his arm thrown around the shoulders of a particularly attractive gnome woman.
I am telling you, he does it!
The woman shook her head in disbelief and Sion looked at his best friend.
Tell her! Tell her how you got hit with a lightning bolt during the last party!
Richter shrugged and cast a drunken smile at the pretty gnome.
It wasn't a big deal. My familiar, where is she?
He looked about until he saw Alma sleeping on a table nearby.
My familiar, he repeated, pointing, can throw lightning.
Are you going to do it again?
She asked, excited.
Everyone, a second villager called out. Lord Richter is going to get shocked again.
The news spread like wildfire, and soon more than 100 people were walking over. Richter looked at Sion, who was brushing the top of the gnome's breast with one hand and smiling maniacally at the chaos seed at the same time.
Dude, don't make eye contact, Richter thought.
He had been going to refuse, but everyone now walking towards them had started chanting his name. He couldn't let them all down now, could he? Still, he begged off several times, which made the chanting even louder. Finally, he relented.
I'll do one! I'll do one!
The crowd went nuts. Richter walked over to the table where Alma was sleeping.
Alma, he said drunkenly. Alma, we have to do the trick. Hey, wake up!
He punctuated the last command by poking her in the belly. The dragonling opened one eye and snarled at him.
What you want? No, it doesn't matter. Go away, drunken master.
Then she closed her eye and tried to go back to sleep. Richter paused for a moment, not because he was daunted by her refusal, but instead because he just started thinking about how that was an awesome movie.
Jackie Chan! Wah!
He thought back to her doing his best karate sound. Alma ignored him.
Come on!
Richter whined, poking her in the belly again.
Everyone is watching!
He swayed slightly back and forth. His constitution stat of 56 let him metabolize alcohol quickly, but he was still feeling no pain after downing a ridiculous amount of spirits. Richter poked her one more time, and the dragonling seriously considered biting his finger off. Then she came up with a better idea. Rousing herself from her comfortable position, she thought to him,
"Of course, master. Whatever you think is best."
Now, her overly sweet tone should have been more than enough to tip him off to the danger, but he was drunk on more than just booze. The cheers and shouts were feeding his slight megalomania, a tendency that had been with him ever since he'd played Civ 10. Civ 9 had been his first game, but everyone knew that the even numbers were the best ones. So, full of piss, vinegar, and moonshine, he hopped up onto the table while Alma looked at him balefully. The villagers surrounded the table and shouted,
"Lord Richter! Lord Mist! Lord Richter! Lord Mist!"
Then it just became,
"Mist! Mist! Mist!"
Richter looked at his familiar and the fierce look in her eye. He began to have his first misgivings. Her lightning spell was only weak class, and he did have a plus 50% resistance to air magic, but still, she looked kind of mad. It was hard to tell with her draconian face, but he was almost sure she wasn't happy. It began to dawn on him that this might not be the healthiest course of action. It wasn't enough for him to puss out in front of all the people calling his badass new nickname, but it was enough for him to send a short message to Alma.
"I don't really remember last time, love, but I know you got me in the chest. Let's do it that way again, okay?"
Alma just looked at him and began to glow yellow.
"Okay? Just like last time. Alma? Alma?"
There was a hint of panic in his thought patterns that grew as she didn't answer. Then there were no thought patterns for a time. All Richter experienced was a bright flash and then blackness. Alma lay back down in a huff. She sincerely hoped that a lightning bolt to the face would teach her master a lesson. She was almost sure that it wouldn't, though. The dragonling was still grumbling to herself as she went back to sleep. Richter regained consciousness, with a multitude of hands lifting him to his feet. His villagers were surrounding him, with claps on his shoulders and cheers all around. He thought he heard Sion scream in delight,
"She shot him in the face! In the face!"
It might have been his imagination, though. He had a debuff that said, "concussed." The villagers helping him up thought he was just mumbling when he said,
"It's so good when it's your lips."
Then he grinned like an idiot. The party kept raging. When Richter's mind cleared a few minutes later, he realized he'd been sat down next to the dance floor. He was sitting on the ground with his back to a bench. For a moment, he just enjoyed existing at that particular elevation and seeing skirts twirl as the women spun about. Then his eyes came to rest on the stage where the band was playing, and he remembered. Forcing himself unsteadily to his feet, he made his way to the wooden platform. He hopped, not quite gracefully, up onto the stage. Everyone around, at least 6 sheets to the wind, cheered and wondered what new stupid human trick he was about to show off. Richter reached into his bag of holding and grabbed the farm implement with one hand. With the other, he pulled the dagger from his belt, scabbard and all.
My people, there is something you have to know. I have a fever, and the only cure,
he held the item in his left hand high for all to see,
is more cowbell!
That was, by popular consensus, when the night went from good to great. Chapter 36, Day 143, Kuborn 33, 0 AOC. Richter woke up with a hangover. It was actually more like there were two sweaty trolls with dysentery in his mind and they were having a slap fight. He didn't know what had woken him, because everything was just a haze of bleh. After he had blinked several times, though, and done his best impression of a blind vole tasting beets for the first time, he realized that there was a light in the room that shouldn't be there. His addled mind went through the count. There were two mist lights on the ceiling at all times. The faint glow was enough for him to see by, but also dim enough to easily go to sleep with. Those two were in the right place, but there was another light only a foot above his head that pulsed slightly. He figured out the mystery all at once.
Futin.
That word came out like a snake sliding through burnt paper. He cleared his throat and tried again.
Futin.
It sounded exactly the same. Rolling his eyes, he slowly sat up. The remnant flowed out of the way. Looking around, he saw a mug on the side of the bed. He picked it up and sniffed. It wasn't completely horrid, so he took a sip to moisten his mouth. Mistake. He protested while he swallowed whatever foul concoction had been inside. He was sure he didn't want to know what it was. It had a thick coating on top and was somehow spicy. Some things were better left unknown. The experience served its purpose.
Futin, why the hell are you in my bedroom?
His voice sounded half-human now. His mind was racing as flashes of the night came back to him. Had he really seen a drunk water pixie shit in someone's glass when she wasn't looking? A flash of panic shot through him as he looked at the mug in his hand. No. No. Still better just not to know.
You told me to follow you to your room, my lord,
came the monotone reply.
You wanted more light for yourself and your guests.
Confused, Richter looked behind him at the rest of his bed and his eyes widened. Shit! There were four sleeping figures.
Putin,
he whispered urgently.
Tell me I took the stars in you.
The herb was truly amazing. It was basically a Viagra-condom combo. All the fun, none of the friction. The remnant just hovered for a moment before responding. The white light at the center of Futin's core pulsed slowly. Somehow, Richter felt like he was being judged.
Yes, my lord. You ate three herbs, if I remember, then stated it was time to stir the mashed potatoes. Then you added, I hope there's no cheese. After that grand pronouncement, you climbed into bed with the others. 1 minute later, you shouted, oh no, there's cheese. And lumps. An hour later, you sent me to see if any other ladies wanted a humpin' and called me the best tinder ever.
Richter scratched his balls as he listened to this, still thirsty as hell. He couldn't bring himself to drink any more of what he had found. He stood up and walked over to a desk. Another flagon of the unknown waited. After sniffing it, he immediately put it back down in disgust. He couldn't place the smell, but he was fairly certain one ingredient of the stinky potion was the cheese.
Why did you stay?
He asked, genuinely curious.
You ordered it, my lord.
The remnant said in an almost completely deadpan voice.
You stated you were going to grow me up, then proceeded to do some truly strange acts while laughing and shouting. There are some things you can't unsee, Futin. This will be with you forever.
Richter started to chuckle. His laughter ended abruptly when the light in the room grew substantially brighter, eliciting a grunt of pain from the hungover chaos seed. He glared squintily at the remnant, sure that the orb had done it on purpose. Before he could make his accusation, though, Teuton reminded him that he had asked for a wake-up call to get an early start on his day. Still glaring, Richter just nodded and said, "Right. Well done. I guess thanks, then." He shook his head to clear the mutton that someone had shoved inside it. "But do that after you find the cooks and have them make 2 plates of eggs and some of the ham left over from last night."
"Would you like me to go with it?" Futen asked.
To Richter, while the remnant's tone said, "I'm a weird deadpan floating light," his subtext said, "I'm a judgy constipated floating asshole." Richter started to yell at the remnant, but then stopped and thought about it. A bit of the hair of the dog that had bit him might actually do some good. He told the remnant to have it all set up in the feast area. He'd come out to eat. He also stressed that there needed to be 4 large pitchers of water. Then he sent Futen on his way. The remnant floated off, still putting out way too much light in Richter's opinion. The Chaos Seed looked back at the bed and the 4 people in it. On the far side, a mop of red hair made identifying Lorala easy enough. The next 2 forms belonged to the twins. The woman closest to him was new, though. She was lying on her stomach with her head turned away from him. Her skin was a rich chocolate, topped with jet-black hair that hung straight down past her shoulders. He couldn't make out many details with only the mist light illuminating the room, but what he saw, he liked. Richter closed his eyes and cast simple light. Easing his eyelids open, he found he could tolerate that level of brightness, so he started slowly pulling back the covers. The black woman's lithe frame tapered down to an even smaller waist, but then things got plumper. Her well-shaped ass rose up in a nice swell, more than enough to cup, but not so big she'd knock over cups when she turned. Pert, he decided, was the best word for it after a minute of intense study. Unable to help himself, he slowly drew back one hand, and maintaining proper form throughout the procedure, quickly brought his palm down in a perfectly executed Jumanji jiggler. It was a technique his church youth group leader had walked him through long ago. As he watched the pleasing ripples spread from one cheek to the next, he waited for a response. Richter had expected her to wake up, maybe turn towards him with either a smile, a frown of annoyance, or some combination of the 2. He couldn't have been more wrong or delighted with the result. She didn't wake, but that didn't stop her from groaning slightly and lifting her hips with a wiggle. "Is she asking for another?" Richter asked himself, bemused. He looked down at the little minx with a smile on his face. A few moments later, she settled back down and sank deeper into sleep. He covered her back up and used Analyze and found out that her name was Carrie. As he got up to leave the room, he allowed himself one final thought. "That's not a moon. It's a space station." Richter walked down the hall towards the Great Seal. As he did, he passed an open room and did a double take. His best friend was limping slightly as he made his way to the door. Behind him, still sleeping on the bed, was the gnome woman Sion had been with earlier. The Spite grimaced when he saw him, knowing some smart-ass comment was coming. The Chaos Seed decided to take it easy on his friend. With a friendly grin, he asked, "Good night?" The sprite looked back with an aggrieved expression. "Just because you find a guy tiptoeing around in his small clothes, you assume the worst." Richter raised one eyebrow, looking at the woman sleeping on the bed, and then looked back at his friend. Sion shrugged, and then, with a smile of his own, replied, "Gnomes rule." Richter gave a short laugh and fist-bumped his buddy. "Breakfast?" "Breakfast," came the satisfied reply. The 2 of them left the catacombs and by unspoken agreement made their way to the latrines. Right before they got there, Richter looked side-eyed at his best friend and couldn't help himself. "Make sure you wash your face when you're done, man," he suggested innocently.
"My face?" Sion asked, confused.
He raised one hand to wipe away whatever spot Richter was seeing. "Yeah," Richter said brightly. "If it's true that you are what you eat, then you're clearly a gnome woman with low standards." Sion's confused face slowly shifted to enlightened irritation. He opened his mouth to give a scathing retort, but Richter interjected, "Oh, looks like one's free." The Chaos Seed beat a hasty retreat into an unused outhouse, chuckling all the way.
The sprite was standing there with an annoyed look on his face. Then, with extreme hesitance, he pursed both lips and took a deep sniff. Now furious, he quietly said, "God damn it!" But he resolved to wash his face as soon as possible. After the necessaries had been completed, though it needed to be done twice in Richter's case thanks to a false stop, they walked over to the feast area. There were people passed out all over the place. More than a few were naked. One blonde human was just sitting by himself on one of the tables. He listed slightly to the side, but despite that, he still held one of Richter's clear bottles of moonshine. The two friends shared a disbelieving look when the man tipped the bottle back and took a sip. How could he still be drinking? As they passed, Richter used Analyze and found out his name was Nick. Richter called out, "Hey, buddy." "Hey." At the second call, the man looked over and Richter asked, "What you got there?" Nick looked at the booze in his hand as if surprised it was there. The man was bleary-eyed, but still managed a bright smile when he proclaimed the bottle's name.
"Breakfast!"
Then he took another swig and resumed staring off into the forest. Sion gave a surprised grunt and just said, "Respect." Richter nodded his agreement, and they walked over to a table where a village woman had set down food and drink for them.
"Great party," Sion commented as they looked out over the grounds.
Richter breathed a large sigh of accomplishment.
"Yeah."
The two of them sat down to eat. They talked about this and that. Sion agreed to organize the Maidon sprites into strike teams along with the guardsmen. The parties would be limited to 5 members, as any more people would mean a drop in the XP they gained from killing enemies. A group of 2 guards, 2 Maidon sprites, and perhaps a caster should be able to handle most monsters of the forest. Sion agreed to talk to Tirad about making integrated groups. Richter wanted the sprites and guards to get used to working together. He stressed that he wanted the archers to use soul trap arrows and bring back as many souls as possible. Richter also wanted a list of several integrated teams made of the strongest fighters, but only those who had sworn fealty. These teams would start farming the dungeon as soon as possible. He didn't know how large it was, but based on the cavern system he had run through before it became a dungeon, it was at least big enough to accommodate several teams at once. Alma flew up while they were talking. She landed unceremoniously and started eating meat off Richter's plate. He started to pull his meal away in jest, but a deep-throated growl let him know she wasn't in the mood. That sound triggered a memory. "Did you shoot a lightning bolt into my face last night, you little beast?" he asked accusingly.
"I healed you after," she said, sounding not at all apologetic.
Alma neglected to say way after. She also didn't look up or stop eating when she added,
"You deserved it."
Then she sent him a mental replay of what had happened. After seeing the damning evidence, Richter just shrugged. He couldn't argue with her logic. Turning his attention back to Sion, he got his friend to take on the task of organizing the villagers with herb lore skill to search the surrounding forest for any useful plants. They would need protection, of course, but that was also good training, both for the new integrated strike teams and the village's non-combatants. Back when he'd been a gamer, escort quests had always been the bane of his existence, mostly because the NPCs being escorted were morons who ran at the sight of every monster. Richter had no intention of his people being eaten because they didn't know how to follow the orders of his soldiers. Best just to get them in the habit. Richter thanked his friend for handling the task. Tavia still needed more raw materials to replenish the village stockpiles of health, mana, and stamina potions before the battle. Richter also asked Sion to add any useful herbs he found to the Well of Offering. Then it occurred to the Chaos Sea that Sion might not have access. Checking the interface, he saw that he was right, but it was easily fixed. Richter gave Sion, Hisako, Randolphus, Tirad, and a few others access to the well. It also occurred to him that he could just leave the Well of Offering open to anyone, but then he thought about the potential for abuse. What if someone dropped something down the well that gave the monsters an ability he didn't know about? That might be enough to finish him. Richter tweaked the dungeon system to alert him whenever the well was used, just to be safe. After a while, other people joined them at the table. Richter had found that he enjoyed the normalcy of breaking bread with his people.
He was also pleased to see that at least some of the freed prisoners felt comfortable joining them as well. Surrounded by the sounds of happy chatter, Richter finally felt cogent enough to deal with some of his prompts from last night. You have learned the enchantment Life Aura, level 1. Enchantment size, 4. Enchantment school, life. Effect, 1. Life Aura. Each rank gives plus 1 damage per 5 seconds against death creatures that come into contact with the enchanted armor. Weaker death creatures will also be discomforted or turned away by even being near items enchanted with Life Aura. Range, 5 feet. Richter was not disappointed. He'd just found a way to be radioactive to the undead. This was the kind of awesome enchantment that had led him to his profession in the first place. He planned to start ranking it up as soon as he got to the forge. He absently started investing his mana overflow into unlocking the second level of Life Aura, but he didn't plan on devoting all his energy to it anytime soon. He would need to use his magic to battle and explore. There were other prompts waiting for him, and new skills. Apparently, he'd put on quite a performance. Congratulations, you have learned a new skill, singing. Not all magic requires mana. By raising your voice, you have enspelled your listeners. Not all have the affinity, but masters of this skill can calm the fiercest dragon. Plus 2% to max vocal volume, plus 2% to breathing capacity. Congratulations, you have reached skill levels 2 and 3 in singing, plus 6% to max vocal volume, plus 6% to breathing capacity. Congratulations, you have learned a new skill, percussion. While some might hear only the clanging of sticks together or the banging of metal, you hear a symphony. True masters of this skill can cause walls to crumble, plus 2% to drumming speed, plus 2% to max complexity of beats. Congratulations, you have reached skill levels 2 through 4 in percussion, plus 8% to drumming speed, plus 8% to max complexity of beats. Congratulations, you have learned a new skill, gambling. I pity those who never know the depths of despair from a bad roll of the bones, for it means they will also never know the high for that sweet, fleeting moment of being first among men. Plus 0.25% to luck. Plus 1% to intuition. Congratulations, you have reached skill levels 2 through 4 in gambling, plus 1% to luck, plus 4% to intuition. That last prompt gave him pause. He certainly didn't remember gambling the night before. He wasn't bothered by the fact, and he couldn't have lost too badly, seeing as how he was still master of the village. Honestly, one of his favorite pastimes on Earth had been sharing scotch with his friends while whiling away a night over a green felt table playing Texas Hold'em. Not knowing if he'd won or lost, though, did bug him a bit. Anyone who'd ever woken up owing a 300-pound bouncer a stack of weed pancakes and a lotiony foot rub would understand how he felt. Richter just resolved to ask around to see if anyone could tell him what had happened last night. He wasn't complaining, though, no matter what the story was. Gambling was the first skill he'd found that gave a direct boost to his stats. Plus 1% wasn't much, but he could see how a highly skilled gambler could really take advantage of the perk. It also favored anyone that decided to invest their precious stat points into luck. The secondary boost from gambling was interesting as well. When he focused on the word intuition, a prompt appeared. Know this, you have increased a secondary attribute, intuition. Secondary stats can be governed by any number of factors, including but not limited to your primary stats, such as strength and dexterity, skills, bloodlines, and/or abilities. No one has ever fully quantified the number of secondary stats which exist. Intuition is your ability to assess the feel of a situation. Your base intuition is +1. Most sapient creatures in the land have a baseline intuition of +1. Total intuition, +1.04. Again, the +4% intuition boost from his new gambling skill didn't mean much yet, but it could add up over time, especially if he found a way to increase his base stat. He put thoughts of gambling out of his mind and thought about his other new skills. Richter started tapping out a beat on the table.
As a child, he'd played beats with his friends and had only been middling at it, if he was being honest. Now, however, with his superhuman dexterity and new skill, creating a complex rhythm was easy. Almost unbidden, he started singing one of his favorite songs from childhood. He got lost in the melody and didn't notice that everyone else had fallen silent for minutes.
"What was that language?" Sion asked. "It seemed harsh, but beautiful."
The sprites were a naturally musical people. The first time Richter had heard them speak, it had sounded like soft woodwinds. Richter had to think a moment, and then he realized he'd been singing in English. "It was a song from my homeland. Just a little ditty about a small-town girl who lived in a lonely world."
"Sounds sad," Sion commented.
Richter shrugged. "All true stories are sad sometimes. It's what makes them beautiful." There was silence at the table for a moment, and then the conversation picked back up. A few minutes later, two elves began another song. Their voices floated in the early morning air, soft and soothing. It was, Richter realized, perhaps the best breakfast of his life.
Chapter 37, Day 143, Qu'Born 33, 0 AOC. After the meal, the Chaos Seed felt a bit more like a complete person. The hangover was still there, but as always, greasy food and a little more booze worked wonders. The two friends left the table and started their day. Richter told Sion to gather all of the Maedon sprites at the forge before they went dungeon diving. Each and every one of the Maedon sprites had sworn fealty to him. He had already awakened life and air magic in some of them. It was time to awaken it in the rest. Sion nodded and split off. Richter walked over to the forge. Alma flew east into the forest to begin her daily hunt. The day was somewhat overcast, and he saw darker clouds over the mountains to the north. There would most likely be rain later in the day, but for now, the air was pleasantly warm. The dwarven smiths were all present in the forge, though a few of the human smiths were absent, probably still sleeping off the party. The building rang with the clanging of hammers and the crackling of fires. The dwarves were clearly in a good mood as they went about their work. You could say what you wanted about their taciturn nature. Those guys could drink. They greeted him with cheers. Apparently, he wasn't the only one who had enjoyed himself the night before. Bowden walked up and told him they were ready to start enchanting if he was. Richter slapped his hands together and rubbed them vigorously. Let's do this! Right out of the gate, Richter started with another dual enchantment. A high steel dagger was ready. He had resolved that he wouldn't use any more souls that were luminous or higher, unless it was a high-quality blade. This particular dagger was only exceptional in quality, offering 18 enchantment slots with his talent bonus. That meant all he needed was a common and a basic soul. This time he tried a different combination. Now that he knew the knack, it was much easier. The fact that he was using weaker souls probably had something to do with it as well. After a short struggle with the soul stuff, he created his second dual enchantment. You have enchanted Shadow High Steel Dagger of Life. Attack 8 to 11. Durability 42 of 42. Item class uncommon. Quality exceptional. Weight 1.6 kilograms. Traits. Plus 10% damage versus spell barriers. Ignores up to 4 to 5% of armor. Plus 2 life damage. Plus 100% versus death creatures. Charges 196 of 196. His hair stood out the same as before, and Richter had to focus fully on his task, but he got her done. The smith that had forged the blade was extremely pleased that the weapon had been enchanted so well. Richter even gained 7 relationship points with the dwarf. It was a negligible amount, but it was something. Richter kept at it. You have enchanted High Steel Dagger of Frozen Beast Slaying. Attack 7 to 10. Durability 46 of 46. Item class uncommon. Quality well crafted. Weight 1.7 kilograms. Traits. Plus 10% damage versus spell barriers. Plus 15% damage versus beasts. Plus 2 to 3 water damage, plus 100% versus fire. 2 to 3% chance to freeze. Charges, 88 of 88.
You have enchanted High Steel Mace of Sonic Beast Slaying. Attack, 13 to 20. Durability, 46 of 46. Item class, unusual. Quality, superb. Weight, 3.3 kilograms. Traits, plus 10% damage versus spell barriers. Plus 53% damage versus beasts. Plus 6 sonic damage. Plus 200% versus air. Plus 300% versus crystalline. 6% chance to disarm. 3% chance to shatter. Charges, 472 of 472. The mace he planned to give to Calder. It still left the problem of getting Tirad a new blade, though. Bowden promised that he would have something ready by the end of the week. Something special that Tirad would be able to use with his current stats. That brought Richter to the Darkstone blade. "What do you mean you haven't attached it to a hilt yet?" Richter asked, slightly irritated. Bowden wasn't the village smith, but in the days since Crom had been gone, he had been impressed by the other dwarf's attention to detail. This felt like a letdown. He'd wanted to practice with it in the dungeon.
"I have an idea that will just take a bit more time, your lordship," Bowden explained. He was clearly excited. "I promise the weapon will be ready before the battle with the Lich Lord. Will you give me the time to make it great?"
There wasn't much Richter could say to that. He wanted to test his new toy out, but he could wait if Bowden had a cool idea. The smith didn't want to spoil the surprise, so Richter just let the matter drop. The Chaos Seed spent another hour or so enchanting. Hunters and sprites came to the forge periodically to gather soul trap arrows and empty soul stones. The village's stores of metal were not endless, though. The nearby iron mine was a godsend, but it still required time to render the resource. There was plenty of iron ore that had been mined as the mistworkers helped with that, but they were nearly mindless automatons. Even a novice with the mining skill might produce a better yield than a mistworker. The only reason the mistworkers were any use with a pickaxe was that the mine was filled with iron veins. Apparently, higher-level metals needed those with the mining skill. Otherwise, the ore crumbled into pieces too small to be useful or was extremely low-grade. Even taking ore production into account, the process of turning it into high steel was time-consuming. While there were stockpiles of the metal, they might run out of readily available ingots before the end of the week if production kept up at the current pace. It was a good thing they had a new labor force that was used to digging. With that thought, Richter summoned Futin. When the remnant arrived, he sent him back out to find Randolphus and bring the Chamberlain back to the forge. The Chaos Seed wouldn't force any of the freed prisoners to go back underground to work. He could well understand why that might be traumatic for many of them. He did plan to make them the offer, though. Anyone that wanted to join the village could start now, as far as he was concerned. He wouldn't give them immunity to the mists, but that wasn't a problem, as the enchantment didn't extend underground. He would pay them at the same rate as everyone else, 4 silver a fortnight, or 2 coppers and 8 iron bits a day. Even those that wanted to leave might jump at the chance to put some coin in their pockets before they re-entered the world. With any luck, they might even find a vein of rarer metal. He got back to work. It was over an hour before Randolphus joined him. That was out of the ordinary, but Richter didn't mind. He had more than enough work to occupy himself between enchanting and improving his own low smithing skill. He also trusted the Chamberlain to manage his own time. The village would probably be a disease-filled, inefficient mess without the spy's diligence. Richter also knew that one of the keys to success in any large organization was putting capable people in charge and then staying the hell out of the way. By the time the Chamberlain walked up, Sion had already gathered the Maedon sprites. Predictably, every one of them was interested in having their potential magic awakened. To Richter's delight, every sprite that had bonded with a life or air pixie now had a high enough affinity to learn the corresponding magic. It meant that the Maedon sprites were not only fighters, but that their ranks had also added another 43 new casters to his village. 43 new magic users, and every one of them had sworn fealty to him. Some of the sprites might have had a high enough affinity even before the Maetu Maedon, but statistically, he knew it was the bonding that had made the difference. The incidence of having an affinity for a basic element seemed to be less than 1 in 100 people. It might even be closer to 1 in 1,000 for all he knew. There was also a clear predilection for certain races to be more or less likely to create certain types of magi. Dwarves, for instance, were known to breed geomancers, whereas aromancers were far less likely to appear in that population. Now, however, in less than 30 minutes, he had made more than 40 new life and air magi with a 100% success rate. Once again, the quickening proved its power in a subtle way. A few had even been gifted with spells that Richter hadn't known. Weak Life's Radiance creates a 5-yard radius of life energy around the caster. All healing spells are 5% more effective to anyone within the boundaries of this spell. Life creatures are 5% stronger, and death creatures are 5% weaker. This is a spell of life magic, level 1. Cost, 58 mana. Duration, 5 minutes. Range, self. Cast time, 2 seconds. Cooldown, 18 minutes. Weak Honed Air creates an area of extremely compressed air around your weapon. Increases the lethal distance of your weapon by 3 inches. Enemies struck with this extended radius will not trigger enchantments in your weapon. This does not change the size classification of your weapon. This is a spell of air magic, level 1. Cost, 31 mana. Duration, 20 minutes. Range, self. Cast time, 2 seconds. Cooldown, 18 minutes. Weak Voice Displacement allows the caster to make his voice appear to come from a different location up to 10 yards away. This is a spell of air magic, level 1. Cost, 17 mana. Duration, 12 minutes. Range, self. Cast time, 1 seconds. Cooldown, not applicable. Richter told the 3 Maedon sprites who received those spells to show up at the House of Scholarship at the end of the day. He intended to create spell books for each so that he could learn the new magic ASAP. Once they were part of his spell repertoire, his mastery in air and life magic would let him share the spells with every other caster in the village that had the skills. That was, barring the children, of course. The Maedon sprites that had bonded with dark and water pixies were understandably disappointed that he could not awaken their powers yet, but he told them it would happen right after he achieved mastery of those powers. He was in the process of sharing his known level 1 spells with the new air and life magi when Randolphus walked up. Richter noticed his chamberlain and said, "Ah, good, you're here. I have some ideas about putting our guests to work. I'm also about to go to the dungeon. It would be great if you would join me again." Richter hadn't really looked at his chamberlain's face while he was talking. His attention was mostly on the sprites he was teaching. When Randolphus didn't respond, though, he looked over and stopped cold. He had never seen such a hard look on the man's face. It was firm resolve mixed with anger. Knowing things were about to change, Richter asked, "Do I have time to finish teaching these spells?" "Yes, my lord," Randolphus replied solemnly. The Chaos Seed finished imparting the spells his Maedon sprites could learn at level 1. Sion had picked up on the seriousness of Randolphus's demeanor. All of the Maedon sprites instinctually looked to him for direction because of his first Maedon ability, which made his leadership a foregone conclusion. He led them all the way towards the main village gate, saying it was time to organize the hunting parties. Richter and Randolphus walked away from the Forge of Heavens until they were out of earshot of anyone else. Once they were, the chamberlain turned towards his lord and did not mince words. "There has been a murder." Chapter 38, Day 143, Kuborn 33, 0, AOC. Richter just stared at Randolphus, uncomprehending. He understood the words, of course, but he thought that there must be some mistake. His time in the land had been a constant struggle. He couldn't even remember the faces of everyone he had killed. The blood of more than 1,000 goblins was on his hands, but that had been battle. That was war, and that made it okay, didn't it? His mouth tried to form words several times before he could actually move past his shock. "Are you sure? Maybe you made a mistake." He gestured to the villagers walking around. Despite the overcast day, people were happy and smiling. "No one seems upset." His tone was beseeching. The village was the one thing he could count on.
It was what made the questionable acts he committed acceptable somehow. It was what vindicated his choices, the ones that kept him awake sometimes in the dark of night.
I am sure, my lord, Randolphus answered definitively. The body was found in the pit the hunters used to dispose of the offal from their kills. It was a human, and his neck was broken. It was one of the prisoners you freed from the goblins.
Couldn't he have just fallen in? Richter asked lamely.
He knew that Randolphus wouldn't have told him he was sure if there was any doubt. Like a man who'd been told he had days to live, though, he was clutching at straws. Anything to try and rewind the clock by just a few minutes when everything had been okay.
Everyone was very drunk last night, he added hopefully.
Maybe whoever had died had just fallen into the pit by accident. If someone had died at his celebration because they drank too much, Richter would feel bad about it, but it would be much easier to deal with than a murder in his village.
No,
Randolphus repeated with the same quiet conviction. It was clear to him now that his liege was having a hard time with this, but he would not soften the truth.
I have seen many falls in my lifetime. In my service to the old King of Eve, I arranged more than a few accidents myself. I know the difference. This man was strangled. After that, his neck was broken and he was dumped into the pit like trash. It was a murder.
Richter's mood began to change. The gentle denial and sadness he'd initially felt was quickly being replaced by a burning anger. Someone had defiled the sanctity of his village. This was his home. He had built it from nothing. Only hours before, he had made an offer to the freed slaves, saying it could be their home as well. Implicit in that offer was the idea that they could live here in relative safety, that he would do his best to protect them. And now?
A vein in Richter's forehead began to throb. And now someone had not only disrespected his home, but they had made a liar out of him, showing people that there was no safety at all.
Anything gentle inside of him faded far into the background, and the part of him that enjoyed the pain of screaming enemies rose to the forefront. He would not let this pass. With steel in his voice now, he gave a simple command.
Tell me what you know.
Randolphus nodded and began to speak. He was relieved that the momentary weakness he'd seen had passed. This matter had to be confronted directly and without delay. He knew from hard experience that such action was not something everyone could do. Some rulers were good with people, but not battle. Others were callous, and a few small were kind. Lords came in all shapes, strengths, and sins. Any leader that wanted to live more than a short while had one thing in common, however. Almost any failing could be forgiven in a lord, but not weakness. Never weakness.
I was notified about this hours ago, Randolphus began. One of the hunters went to the skinning area in order to gather some snares that they make for small game. He noticed some drag marks near the pit. When he looked in, he saw the body. He came to find me immediately.
Does anyone else know? Richter asked. He had to know how widespread this information was. If it was widely known, the story could spread through the village like a wildfire, leaving fear and panic in its wake.
I notified Captain Turod, Randolphus replied,
completely understanding Richter's unvoiced concern. He is standing watch near the pit with several other guards. I was also forced to question several of the freed prisoners. As the victim was one of their own, it made sense to question them first. I ordered that they be sequestered. The hunter that found me, a high elf named Dobbs, readily agreed to keep the murder secret until we instructed otherwise. The other hunters know something is amiss, as Turod is not letting them near the site, but they do not know what. I'm confident that no other villagers are aware of what has occurred.
Richter nodded his approval and indicated that Randolphus should continue.
That is why it took me so long to reply to your summons. Though I was tardy, my lord, the time was well spent. I have identified the culprits.
Someone confessed?
Richter asked, surprised. I am a spy whose focus is counterintelligence, my lord. Now that I am no longer sacrificing my skills and abilities to adopt another persona, you will find that not many can keep secrets from me. In speaking with the freed prisoners, I have learned something troubling. Despite all having been in captivity, some of the people you freed were exploiting the others. Specifically, some of the higher-level men and women used the weaker captives however they wished.
Are you saying
Richter began. He had to stop and start again, as the words were so sour they twisted his lips.
Are you saying that even though they were all slaves to the goblins, some of the people we saved were abusing their fellow captives?
Abuse and was. Some of the captives were informers. They would report to the goblins if anyone were not working hard or if any were considering resistance. In return for this betrayal, they were given extra rations, and the goblins did not interfere if they wanted to use the other slaves for their amusement. Richter's jaw tightened. Nothing the Chamberlain was saying shocked him. He knew that evil existed everywhere. On Earth, the news was always filled with atrocities happening in the inner city or in countries on the other side of the planet. His understanding of the atrocities men and women committed had always been academic before now, however. To actually have rapists and traitors in his midst filled him with anger. Knowing that it continued to happen even after they had been freed, even after so many of his people had died freeing them, filled him with rage. Not trusting himself to speak yet, he gestured for Randolphus to continue. It was a simple matter to discover the victim had a sister. From there, I learned that two of the men used to rape the dead man's sister regularly in the cages. After that, it was simple to learn the rest of the story. The murdered man had not dared to stop the rapists while they were captives. The goblins apparently had been very creative with the tortures they enacted on anyone who opposed their pet informants. Now that they were no longer under the goblins' control, he stood up for her. The two men are both level 12 and have invested heavily in strength. Their victim was only level 6. How do you know about the dead man's levels? His analyze skill couldn't target creatures that had been killed unless they were undead. Randolphus understood what he was saying. Your skill is impressive, my lord, but my own talents and skills have a versatility that yours do not. Richter nodded. It was always good to remember that as powerful as he had become, there were other beings even more powerful with capabilities he lacked. Arrogance was often a person's last mistake. The Chamberlain continued. With their increased strength and greater numbers, the woman's brother was overpowered. The two men apparently killed him before dragging her off and using her again. Last night? Richter said, seething. They raped her here? Yes, Randolphus replied through gritted teeth. His professional mask finally cracked and he showed his own anger. Where Richter's anger was hot, the spy's fury was as cold and merciless as ice. The area you cleared in the mists for the party was large enough that they could go almost to the eastern wall. That is also why they were able to reach the pit to dispose of the body. Richter cursed. There was nothing of importance on the eastern side of the village. It was mostly just empty space. Since there were so many of the captives, he had let the clearing in the mist extend out to the wall. The walls on that side of the village were always manned by guards, so he hadn't thought there would be any harm. It had been an innocent kindness, in his opinion. Apparently even those could be corrupted. Richter was tired of hearing the story. He wanted to act. You have the two men in captivity?
I do, Randolphus replied. They have been bound and are under guard by Captain Tarot. After I identified them, I spoke to the woman they abused. She had been beaten and was initially afraid to speak. When I assured her that she was safe from any retaliation, however, she told me the entire story. One of the men is quite aggressive and is proclaiming his innocence. The other is clearly a follower and became tearful when he was arrested. Once I separated them, it did not take long to elicit a confession from the sad one. He corroborated the woman's story almost verbatim. He quickly stated that it was the other man who had killed the woman's brother. In his words, he had just been trying to have some fun. Randolphus almost spat as he repeated the coward's words. Richter internalized everything he was hearing. He didn't want to get off topic, but he had to ask. Did you torture the man to gain his confession? Randolphus looked him directly in the eye and in a measured voice responded, No, my lord. That was not necessary in this case. The spy put just the slightest bit of emphasis on the last words. Richter wasn't sure how he felt about that. Once upon a time, it would have gone completely against his beliefs to use torture in a system of justice. Yet it was true that both he and Sion had tortured people before. They had been goblins, though, and it had been during war.
Richter's internal protestations sounded weak and hollow even to him. The fact of the matter was he was not above using pain when the situation called for it. Was it really any different in this situation? He put the matter aside for the moment. Is there anything else?
Unfortunately, there is, my lord. During the course of my interviews, I learned the identities of the other prisoners that had been giving information to the goblins. There had been mumblings of this the first day the captives arrived, but I had not had the chance to discover the truth. After the incident, however, I spoke with dozens of captives separately, and they provided the same names each time. The likelihood that this is a coordinated conspiracy to malign these 14 is extremely low.
14? Richter asked, his voice rising. Unless he heard something remarkable in the two men's defense, he was already fairly sure what he was going to do. Now that there were 12 more, though, could he really...
He needed time to think.
Where are these others?
I did not take any action against them as of yet, my lord, Randolphus answered. I decided it would be best to bring this to your attention first. I sincerely doubt that the freed slaves have not been speaking amongst themselves, however. Whatever is to be done, I believe it should be done quickly.
The Chamberlain's advice was more than sound. It was exactly how Richter had always lived his life. Indecision causes confusion. Confusion causes accidents, and accidents cause death. Mama's advice still rang in his ears at pivotal moments. He wasn't perfect, and he knew he never would be. But he'd be damned before he'd be indecisive.
It was time to act.
Find Calder. Have him gather more guards and round up the other 12. Have them bound. If Sion hasn't left to go hunting, enlist the help of the Maedon sprites as well. Use the feast area and have the 14 perpetrators placed in front of the stage. After that, bring everyone we freed and all of the villagers. Richter stared hard into his chamberlain's eyes, and I mean everyone. Even the miners, farmers, smiths, fishermen, and gardeners. We won't wait for any hunters or guards on patrol to return, and leave the guardsmen on the walls where they are, but everyone else needs to be in attendance. I want them to see this. Use Futin to get everything done as quickly as possible. Invite Lady Hisako and Adept Yoshi to come as well. I'm going to the quickening. Send word to me when everything is ready.
Richter began to walk off, and Randolphus called after him. What is it you plan to do, Lord Richter?
The Chaos Seed stopped walking. His shoulders slumped slightly, and in a resigned voice he answered,
I plan to see justice done.
Chapter 39, Day 143, Kuborn 33, 0 AOC. Richter made his way through the village. His people greeted him with their customary smiles, but it did nothing to improve his mood. He looked up at the overcast sky, and the ubiquitous gray seemed appropriate. The KLC did not pause when he walked by the guard stationed at the hill. Instead, he kept moving until he reached the quickening. It was the soothing aura around the celestial tree that he was after. Once under the silver canopy, pixies flew around and above his head. Richter walked up to the silver trunk. He put his hand on the smooth wood and closed his eyes. For a full minute, he just breathed in and out. The calming energy exuding from the tree helped to clear his mind. After that, he sat down and started doing some mental exercises he had learned from Alma. His self-awareness skill increased both his mental and emotional stability. At level 7, he received a bonus of plus 14% to self-control. The primary reason that he had begun this mental training was that using deeper magic had a tendency to unbalance him, sometimes hazardously. Blood magic put him at the mercy of his passions. He acted impulsively, even if it put his life in danger. Spirit magic ramped up his ego. It made him feel like he could accomplish anything, inducing a sense of mania. It also felt amazing. His cravings to use it again made him think of it as almost a drug. Deeper magics were incredibly powerful, but Richter had not been able to use them safely until Alma had helped him to gain a measure of control. Through their deep psychic connection, she had helped him both build up mental defenses and improve the skill. She had even helped him build a fortified mental area in what she called his mindscape. It was a representation of the village, but with a small barbican that symbolized his mental defenses.
When he used deeper magic, he imagined his mind inside of that fortification. As long as the mental version of him stayed safe, he had nothing to worry about. While originally that had just been a mental exercise, Alma had shown him it was actually interactive with the greater world. Now, when he cast deep magic, he actually saw